Good morning. If you have your journal books for 40 days of prayer, we're going to be working off of page 91 where you're supposed to write notes. The assumption is I will give you something to write. And there will be some bullet points that I think you could note. For you who didn't bring your journal books this morning because you're in small groups and other assortment of places, like you just forgot, be at peace. There is no guilt, but just because I've mentioned it, you now feel guilt. I don't know what to do about that. That's your own guilt, your own stuff. You'll have to deal with it at the confession next week. Now, I'm going to say something that I think is a pretty basic thought. People are complex creatures. Are we agreeable? People are complex creatures. This week, in preparation for the message, I watched a Pixar movie. Pixar is well known for their animations. They're in a sense, their children productions, their movies. I watched the movie Inside Out. Has anybody watched the movie Inside Out? Raise your hands, be proud. All right, there's seven or eight of us, good. The rest of you are going to get a snippet of it. If you have not seen Inside Out, which is the majority of you, you need to go and watch the film. It's on Disney Plus and other places. Let's take a look at it, Carter.
So, Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Signal the husband.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What is it, woman? What?
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Change it back, Joy.
I'm trying.
Joy, no,
let's
wait.
The core memories!
No.
Can I say that curse word now?
So you get the gist of the movie. Everybody has inside of them different voices. We all do. They're the voices that this movie plays off of. In fact, those voices are talking right now. All of you have them. You're saying, what was that movie? Why did we watch that? What's the purpose of that? What was that? That was awful loud. I don't know what to do with that. That was really funny. I really like that movie. We should watch that again. I hope I can see it. Maybe I can see it. I don't know what Disney Plus is. This movie is really intriguing, and my children said, watch this movie, and then they said, ... you're going to cry. So I said, you're setting me up to watch a movie where I'm going to cry. Dad, you cry at every movie, you will most certainly cry at this one. I am a weak man. So notice the different voices they have for complex human beings. There's the fear voice. Anybody got a fear voice? Sometimes it's screaming. The disgusted voice. They do a thing on here about moving to San Francisco and they went to a pizza place and it was broccoli pizza. And the disgusted voice really spoke to that one. I thought, that is fairly disgusting. There's the joy voice that loves life. There's the angry voice that just strikes out. That was the little red guy that you saw there. And then there's the little blue creature who was called sadness. Each of us, I think, that kind of capsulizes a whole bunch of our feelings that we deal with all the time because people are complex human beings. We all have these various voices that are constantly triggering us during the course of our day, from the time you got up this morning, now we're in worship, to after worship. And each voice is a reflection of who we are as people. And this is the catch when you watch the movie, and I think there is a value to seeing the movie. They all shape memories. They shape memories of who we are and how we approach life. What if you approach life, the way you approach life was always through sadness? What if you approach life always through fear? What if you approach life always through disgust? Or joy? Or anger? Does that not shape you? The point is, we are a multidimensional people. We are complex creatures. Maybe I could call each one of those the joy, sadness, disgust. Maybe I could call those are different dimensions of who we are. Because we are complex people, and each of those voices integrates, and at one time or another, a voice will dominate. One time or another. Here's a little bit of a different slant on it. In the 1920s, a couple of very bright, really smart German scientists came up with a theory in science and physics called dimensions. This is what they said, and this takes a moment because I'm not a science guy, so this I read this a couple of times to get it. They said, an attempt to unify the four fundamental forces in nature: strong nuclear forces, weak nuclear forces, gravity, electromagnetism. It's a mathematical theory. Oh, and there's possibly the fifth dimension, and it's not directly observable. Now, some of you out there are going, I love this stuff. And then there's a bunch of us going, huh? See, when we look at science and we talk about the dimensions in science, we know that our creation, our creation is extraordinarily complex. And by science, we look at what is our place here in the universe, what's our place here on the planets. So we have inside out acute animation that will make you cry. You need to see it, even if you're tough. That says that we have an internal battle of complexity. And then we have these German scientists, and their work has been validated. They explore the broader universe, the physical, and they come to the same conclusion, that the universe is extraordinarily complex. So we have internal complexity, and we have external complexity. Do we get that we're complex? There's three or four of us nodding. I've already lost a bunch of you. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, we bump into the broader universe as well as the internal complexity of people. That's what we see in John 1. This is what the gospel actually says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you see, in the beginning, at the creation of the physical, in the complexity of the universe, the living Word was there. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. It's Jesus. Jesus was there. The living Word was there. Then Jesus, and you know what Jesus does is He comes. He's born into our world. And what does He do? He takes on our internal complexity. So He was there at the universe's creation and all the complexity and all the dimensional language we see in science. And then He takes on the internal complexity that we all wrestle with: joy, sadness, disgust. And He becomes us and lives with us. It's extraordinary. John 1 verse 14 says it this way: the Word became a human being and lived among us, and we saw His glory, and He was full of grace and truth. Our God willingly engaged our complexity, and he lived with us, and he became us. And in your journal notes, here is point one. God is a multi-dimensional God. God is a multi-dimensional God. See, what I can tell you is this. We need to embrace the complexity in our prayer lives. So when we talk about prayer, as complex as we are, so also is our prayer life and all of its complexity. If we have one-dimensional praying, do we ever talk about one-dimensional thinking? You only think one way? We do that with our prayer lives as well. If we have only one-dimensional praying, say we only pray with a disgusted voice. That would be a funny prayer. You only pray with a disgusted voice. Oh God, I am just disgusted with broccoli. And every day, that was your prayer. That would be one-dimensional praying. Or you just prayed all the time with the sad voice, or all the time with the joy voice, and that was the only way you would pray. We would all have a pretty boring prayer life. Life is intended to be complex. It's kind of how we're crafted. Just think about your life habits. Just think about your morning. You get up. You did get up. You're here. You brush your teeth, please. You take a shower, please bathe. You get dressed, you look in the mirror, you're disgusted. That disgusted voice comes out in the morning. You eat breakfast. Mine is always a morning omelet. Onions, always, every morning, onions and mushrooms with shredded cheese, cheddar, every morning. Nellie goes, that was wonderful. Then we go to work, we come home, we eat, and then there's an hour or so where you just crash. Then you go to bed, and then the whole thing starts all over again. And you know what people say when they do that ritual over and over and over again? What do they talk about with life? It's really boring. Isn't that what we do? I need a vacation. We can talk about life being very, very boring. Life can be very, very predictable. Here's the fact. We do that with our prayer lives. We do the same predictable kind of things with our prayer lives. We are multidimensional, complex people, and then we will have these mundane prayers that just seem kind of dry. And I will have heard from people over the years who will say, my prayer life is really dry, or I just don't feel like praying. And a lot of it has to come down to, it's not like they're deserting faith or drifting away from faith. It's oftentimes meaning they're praying in a predictable manner over and over again. And when you do the same thing over and over again, after a while, it loses its value. One of the things we try to do with marriages is to have healthy marriages. You have to have stimulus in your marriage. You have to do things in your marriage. You have to be active in your marriage. Or marriages get really bland. And one time or another, a husband or a wife will look at each other and say, we just got to do something. We got to do something. My wife and I have, this is always so funny, my wife and I have done over the years marriage retreats. The wives always come. They are ready. They are ready to go. And guess who doesn't want to come? The men never want to go. So in my opening comments of every marriage retreat my wife and I have done, I have to speak first. And I have to say to the men, Roy, you're okay. You're on the marriage retreat. We are delighted that you're here today. No one is going to yell at you. You're a fine husband. And then look at the wife. Leave him alone. Because for some reason, we get a predictable marriage and you say, well, I've got to do something to help my marriage be stimulus. But they're scared because husbands, you know, oftentimes feel like they're the bad brunt of the joke. And our prayer lives can be the very same thing. I do know this. I know that the Holy Spirit works in all of the dimensions that create us. All of the complexity of the creation of all time, from the beginning to us as people, the Holy Spirit works in all of those dimensions, and we tend to make, what we do is we tend to make God predictable. We tend to put God in the box, and God is never, ever predictable. We would take God, put him in a box, because if you put God in the box, then you have God all figured out. And if you have God all figured out, then you don't have to have a relationship with God. And you can always tell God what you want because it really is all about you. The Spirit moves where it wishes to move. And what it wishes is to move within us. That's what the Spirit wishes to do. Here's point number two. Because God is multidimensional, I'm never alone. I'm never, ever alone. You see, if God is one-dimensional, then when you get out of that dimension, whatever that dimension is, let's say the joy voice or the sad voice, then you would never have God with you. But God is multidimensional because in that way, he reaches us wherever we are and whatever place we are in our lives. And he wants to reach us in that place. You see, when we think of who God is and we see what Scripture says, it says that God is in the past and God is in the present and God is in the future. God's here and he's there. He's in heaven. He's on earth. He's in the spirit world. He's in your world and my world. God is in every dimension all the time. By the way, that is beyond our comprehension. He's in you. He's above you. He's around you because he's multidimensional. And we'd say this in the Athanasian Creed. We will say, He is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not three gods, God, Father, God, Son, God, Spirit, but three gods, he is one God. And when you read the Athanasian Creed, it can be quite confusing because they're trying to make a point that when we look at our God is a complex being who works in a complex universe and works with complex people. And as a result, because God is omnipresent, we are never alone. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12 says it this way, "Where could I go to escape from you, God? Where could I ever get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew way beyond the east or lived the farthest place to the west, you'd be there too to lead me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even darkness isn't dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you." So what about a multidimensional God? What about this complex God? What we can say about the complex God when you're praying, think about these points when you're praying. In your own prayer life, think about this multidimensional prayer. I look backward to the cross. Start there. In your praying, start there. If it all begins with the cross. If we start praying with our problems and fears, if we start in that voice of fear and problems, then we forget what happened at the cross. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says it this way, God paid a ransom to save you. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So start your prayer life by saying, God, thank you for what happened at the cross. Thank you for your redemption. When you're praying, how about this one? I look upward into my Father's loving face. You'll notice that the Lord's Prayer starts. How does it start? Our Father. Our Father. You and I tend to pray with formality, which creates distance. But that isn't God's desire for you. God's desire is to reach you in informality and in casualness, in love and affection. He reaches into your life as a father loves a child. When you read throughout Scripture, you see God desiring to be close to his people. And often the people walk away from the Father, don't they? You see story after story. Does that happen today? Do people walk away from the Father? Sure they do. And the father doesn't abandon the child. The child abandons the father. And God waits, and he approaches, and he seeks us. In the Old Testament, they would worship false gods, and they would abandon the father. And so God would allow things to happen to catch their attention. Romans 8, 15 and 17 says, "You should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. You have been adopted, and you're God's cute little babies. You're the cute little babies." And I do think of a baby and a parent and the first words the child speaks. And we always look for those first words, don't we? And we want them to say, "Mama," or "Dada." We want to hear that. Basic, simple sounds where they identify who the parent is. And then as they grow up a little bit more, as they move to mommy and daddy, to mom and dad. And even today, my girls, and now reaching into their 30s, they'll still speak to me as daddy. As daddy. The voice of the child looking to their father. God wants to personally be in your life, and God wants to love you for exactly who you are. So if you feel like you're the fallen child or the drifted child, or you know people that are drifted and they're gone and they're lost, I'm just telling you, God has not. The God, the Father, has not left them. And so your prayer is, God, that you would be able to keep approaching them. Do not just let them live that way. Lord, bring people into their lives that can speak into their lives. Here's another point about praying. When you pray, look around, and I ask the Holy Spirit to use me. Ask the Holy Spirit to use you. We just went through an antique show. Bunches of people coming in, people who don't know Jesus. Just ask the Holy Spirit to use you. You know, there's something, we can scare people away. Oh, they're a Christian. And carrying a 34-pound Bible. We can scare people. Just ask the Holy Spirit to use you. And I think there's just a natural place where conversations take place. There's just a natural thing that happens. Romans 6:13 says it this way. Give yourself completely to God, every part of you. Since you've been given a new life and you want to be used, you want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for His good purposes. And I would ask you from that verse, and when's the last time you prayed and said, "Lord, use me. Just use me. Lord, let me be receptive to how you would use me. Lord, let me be open to being your tool in this world." Because God chose you and me. He chose us to be his vehicle to the world around us. And if it's at an antique show, or a basketball league on Monday nights, or pickleball, we ask the question, how am I a vehicle in which God speaks into this world in all of those circumstances? The fact is that you are not bound by a job or a place. You aren't. Wherever you go, God will utilize you in any circumstance. Now, in my world, there's no question. Do I feel good about what I do, Lucy? Lucy says she does, because that was the right answer, and she knows the right answers. Is there any question that I have a calling to this?
No, I told you that.
Yeah, Duane says, "Well, I've told you that." I'm just telling you. So I talk up here, and yeah, I feel aligned with what I do. But that doesn't mean that you can't feel aligned in what you do. I just get to be a voice. Some of you are engineers. Will God use you as an engineer? Yes. Some of you work in the health field. Will God use you in that? Yes. Some of you work in business. Is God going to use you in your circumstances wherever you are? Yes. Some of you are at home taking care of little ones. Yes. Some of you are retired, and what you did for a career is you're now into the next season. Can God use you in the circumstances to which you live now? Yes. The fact of the fact is that your prayer is, no matter your age, no matter your place, your circumstances, the prayer of, Holy Spirit, use me to be your tool. Let me be your tool. Mother Teresa said it this way. You all know who Mother Teresa is? Yeah, somebody nodded. Okay. So she said, stop trying to do something great with your life. Just do normal things with a great amount of love, and God will bless that. God will bless that. So think about your day, today, tomorrow, and pray, Holy Spirit, use me. Here's another point about your prayer life. I look forward to my future in faith. I look forward to my future in faith. You can look ahead and celebrate the gift to come. And you know what that gift to come is? It's eternity. I don't even know what that means. I just know that the scriptures tell us that we have a life of eternity. I got a phone call on Tuesday last week that a dear friend of mine died. He was 85 years old. He was more than a friend. He was a spiritual father. He was a spiritual dad. I knew Bill was not healthy. He lives where I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. And of course, as you all know, my dad died, and so I'm not getting back to Appleton anymore. And I talked to Bill periodically. When I was 17 years old, I met him at church, and at 17, I had gone through a renewal of my faith walk, and I my life was changed. At 17, my faith became very real and very alive, and I think is the prompter to me being with you today is some people who reached in my life when I was 17. Sounds like a song. And at that time, when I was 17, after the renewal had happened, I bumped into this couple that were at my church, Bill and Jackie, and the three little girls. And somehow, I don't even know the first conversation, somehow I got invited to their house for dinner. Of course, I was 17, and I love to eat. And somehow I got invited to their home, and that began a relationship that lasted for 50 years. See, you just don't know, right? At 17, I didn't have a clue. What I knew at 17 is that Jesus became very real in my life, and my faith took on an energy I never ever imagined in my whole being. And this couple understood that, and they were just real faithful to the call. And I remember sitting at their table year after year after year, and I always said, I always wanted a marriage like they had, and I wanted to be a dad like Bill was a dad. And then I met Gail, and I said, you got to meet Bill and Jackie when we go home, because I want our marriage to be like their marriage, and I want to raise kids like they raise kids. And I just want to have a passion for the Word, that this couple just has a passion for the Word. And Bill was a mechanical engineer, and in Appleton, Wisconsin, that meant, I still don't know how this works, it meant he worked in paper industry. And one of his final projects before he retired, you who are engineers, you'll love this, you know when you buy cereal, you have to be able to rip the paper apart, and on one side it has to be a certain coating on that paper, and another side it can't, and the food has to stay fresh in that bag. He worked on that. He took me to his store, his business one time, and he showed me what he was doing. I was pretty impressed. But you see, that's what he did. But who he was a man who was vested that people should know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Redeemer. He spent hours discipling people, and he spent hours, he and his wife both, teaching Scripture, involved in their congregations as they went through the years and they switched churches, and I just kind of tracked with them. And then he died. His body was kind of beaten up. You could see it coming. Faithful to the calling. With COVID, they didn't get to church anymore. They watched it on the live stream of their congregation. His wife told me he raised his hands the week before he died. He was watching it on TV, watching his congregation, and he was raising his hands, praising God. So Thursday, my wife and I got in the car and we drove 8 hours to Appleton, Wisconsin to honor my dad. Because there are all sorts of different kinds of dads, right? Certainly I love my father. But then there's other voices that God brings into your lives. And for me, Bill was one of those big voices. Even in later years when we didn't talk as much. One of the big voices. Because I knew he loved me for who I was and my faith. He understood my faith. And I understood his passion for his faith. And on Friday at 11, after a very long day of driving, I sat in this funeral at this funeral home, and there were bunches of people there. And at one point, they kind of opened it up and said, anybody want to talk? By the way, I'm scared of those funerals. And because they can go on a long time. And people started getting up. And person after person spoke about Bill's faithfulness, his love of discipleship, his passion for outreach. And they had very specific stories of how Bill, who was not very overt, he would defer to others, he did not want attention, and lives were changed. And I realized as I watched, all these voices, and yes, I have a voice I talk to, but as I'm listening to all these voices, I realized I was just part of a puzzle. And that I was definitely loved by Bill, and he loved a bunch of other folk. And all of us were different for the sake of the kingdom of God, so that we would know Jesus. Because he was looking forward to his future in eternity in faith. I am Bill's legacy. I am. I speak the message that he gave me. And I want to give you a message to speak. So it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Today, Bill is in the presence of Christ Jesus, sitting by the throne of God. So I'm asking you, my friends, don't let your prayer life be predictable. Embrace the complexity of life and the complexity inside of you. Go watch the movie Inside Out. Join me and cry. Because it is who we are. And our Christ Jesus steps into our complexity and loves us for exactly who you are right now. In Christ's name, amen.